Hello, everybody. Shoo. Okay, do you want the interval? Sukila, a coffee tight off. Do you just want to go and stretch your legs a little? Itzy. Are you guys fine? Fine, okay. Good morning. Mora amo. Yeah, welcome, visitors. Shibambu, I'm not going to forget that name. yeah, guys, so we started, you'd hear, it's like we're going to link this thing, but we started last week. Aaron started speaking of inviting. So the invitations, giving invitations, sharing invitations. So we're actually busy building something that Oki touched on. We're busy building into almost evangelizing, how to evangelize, who should be evangelizing. You know. So we're busy building. So this is going to be more of a teaching rather than a preaching, if it makes sense. And I know that our time is... Thank you, Dion. Well, the date is weekend, but the Spirit of the Lord is going to do what it needs to do, and we trust that life will still come. So, this morning I'm going to be sharing a little bit on, can anyone evangelize? Jean, can anyone evangelize? Yes, anyone can evangelize. Anyone can evangelize. Like, we need to settle that in our heart. Let's have some joy that, yeah. Like, there's something about what has happened this morning and what the Lord has just shared and the life that everyone was sharing. There's quite a bit of the scriptures even here that is already the Lord has placed on people's hearts, and they prayed into it and they gave what the Lord has spoken to them about. But yes, the question, the biggest question, what we're speaking about this morning is, can anyone evangelize? Excuse me, if I disappear behind this thing, don't judge me. The Lord has created me like this, Vili. So anyone can evangelize. Anyone can. But I was wrestling this week with this, like, evangelizing, because something in me goes like, but there's a quality, and there's substance needed with this that goes with. So I even went, I'm like, evangelizing is. It's almost like it's an action, it's a process. And then I went and I Googled. And I checked, I'm like, what is, like, different words that people use? And even, does the world evangelize? Because we think this is a biblical exclusive. Because it's a gift from Jesus, the world will take what Jesus sent. So yeah, I'm gonna read you something that pertains, either it can be a running club, it can be a knitting club, but yeah, I'm just gonna read you something that goes with a sports club. So this is how a sports club would, guys, this is actually what the people are doing. And this is almost how we should be equipping ourselves in this kingdom of God. I'm gonna read to you, so this is what sports clubs does. So this is actually so that, it just gives a bit of information. So be at a sports club, be in a running club, be at whatever. Be at a gardening club. Gerard with them beautiful magic juices. So they would use words like to promote, to share, to recruit. But in essence, you'd hear what they do is when they start to speak about their club or their team, do you know you even get evangelized into a sports team? But I was a Boca. I never watched rugby. And then my son watched rugby, and then he shared that thing with me, and guess what? I was influenced. And I started watching. But here it is. 3 points. They build a welcoming community. Doesn't it sound like home? Practical ways of recruiting people into the teams and communicating the benefits. Doesn't that sound like Christianity? That's just a picky funner, just a little bit of a twist. What they do is, with building a welcoming community, people are drawn to positive and inclusive environments. They create a culture where newcomers feel comfortable, regardless of their skill. Newcomers, visit, come to us. They have non-sporting events like sharing meals together, social gatherings. They get together. This is a sports club, guys. This is not even the kingdom of God. This is just what the world goes and does with what Jesus gave us to do. Practical ways is, do you know what they do? They directly invite their friends. a personal invitation. Even Google says it's one of the most effective ways to get people to come in. It's like, hey, Jean, come drink a coffee. Huh? And this is the world. The world took evangelism and gave it a new name and rebranded it. And they are equipping people to become distracted and to be focused with something else. And I like the one says, communicate the benefits. A sense of belonging, highlighting the friendship and the community aspect. Just guys, this is Christian talk here. And yet again, I say, this is recruiting in a sports club. But they take something, we can go like, but those are good points. We can do that. Can we do that? We can do that. We can do that. We're not building a sports club. We're not building a knitting club. We're not building anything. This is earthly. But guys, we are building heavenly. We're building heavenly. Come on, can we get a bit of excitement there that we are building heavenly? This is the house of God. This is, he actually saw it fit that he would partner with us to build his kingdom. That he saw it fit to come and say, yes, I'm going to create them. And I'm going to equip them. And I'm going to teach them. And I'm going to guide them. And I'm going to love them. But it's so that my son can be glorified, that he would go and come and collect a bride. But it is, we have a purpose. We need to do this well. And here is where we need to start going into almost the meatiness of this is, can anyone evangelize? We know anyone can. But who do we evangelize for? Are we evangelizing for, hey, come see how great I am, or the man of God syndrome, or are we evangelizing for Jesus? Are we evangelizing for Jesus? Dennis, I look at that man, I get so inspired, because that man just is always on fire for the Lord. And when he speaks the oracles of God. But what do we do when we evangelize? Because here we know that it is about Jesus. And Jesus came to do one thing for us. So when we evangelize, we go and we're like, there's this man. He is fully God. And he's fully man. Evan loves it. Do you know what was beautiful about this? While I was preparing, I'm like, yes, Lord, you are so intentional. Because when Evan shared, guess what he shared on? The gospel. Guess what you need to know when you evangelize? The gospel. Yes, the gospel. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? And then who is the gospel for? I got like three questions. I'm like, Lord, there's the gospel, yes. We need to evangelize. We need to have this imprinted in our hearts. We need to be men after our, men and women, excuse, after your own heart. But we need to know the gospel. We need to know that the people need to know Jesus is the lion and the lamb. We need to know that there's the image of Jesus, that people have the soft and timid. But do they know that Jesus comes and he has a robe dripping with blood? Fire in his eyes. Glowing. Come on, guys, but you cannot just, but Jesus is amazing. Yes, man. Yes, man. So then I made a few notes. I'm like, yes. The foundational question, who is Jesus? And I just wrote this. He is the Son of God, the Lion and the Lamb, the treasure in the field. When we worship about a treasure in a field, it's about him. It is about him. When we worship that, everything that pertains to life and godliness is held within him. And now we need to go and like, okay, we need to get more and more of this. What is the gospel? We take Jesus' words. In Luke 4:18, Jesus came. When he started introducing himself to the world, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. How beautiful. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. That almost has the foundation of what Jesus came to do, but it's not the fullness. It's even said that everything that Jesus done, there's not enough books to write down what He has done. But if you want to know the gospel, Dion started touching on it, that you need to spend time in word. You need to spend time with Him. You need to go home and go and read the gospels. This morning I just started reading and it said, I started reading Mark, it said, Mark, the gospel of Jesus. And then it starts with the entire book, the gospel of Jesus. We need to know who He is. We need to know who He is. There are people that have a, we are old, let's do this analogy. I'm going to say you have a fit, you know, everyone is not as fit. My dear Bierman was running his heart out yesterday. Some of us don't run. So that means that's the same in within the context of church. Not everyone is in the same level of faith. Some are newborns. Some are eating, are drinking milk. Some are at the meat of Scripture. So there's differences. And we do not despise the humble beginnings, but here is something that we need to realize. Romans says in 10:13, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? You need to know the gospel because they're going to ask you the question. You're inviting me, you're telling me that it's good there, but who is He? You cannot go and invite if you do not know who He is. And they will not know who He is unless you know who He is. And then you go and say, I have something to tell you. I have someone to tell you about. I know Him personally. I have sat with Him. Huh? Dennis? And then while I was preparing, this was, I love that man dearly. I was preparing and I'm like, oh, Lord, just quiet my heart and just share something with me. Because yeah, we know this, we share, and I think it was Charles that just prayed now that to stand in front of you and like, oh, I don't like to share with people is a lie. It's a lie. Because Peter 1 Peter 2:9 says, Dennis, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Come on. Guys, a holy nation. But you are broken. Yes, but God came to redeem you. But I sin. But He came to wash you. But I am so short of everything that I need to do. But He came and He said, I cover a multitude of sin. All your brokenness I will cover. So when you go as a royal priesthood. That a chosen person. You go as a part of a holy nation. God's special possession, huh? That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. We cannot keep this to ourselves. Evangelism is something that we can do. But there is a foundation that we have to stand on. And the foundation is Jesus. The foundation is Jesus. And also, this needs to go from here to here. From here, from your head to your heart. Can I convince you that I love my wife? Or do you see that I love my wife? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So there is a love relationship that you need to have with this amazing person who is Jesus. You cannot convince someone of anything if you have no passion for Him. I cannot come and stand here and go like, you know Jesus is Lord. No, I'm like, Jesus is Lord. Come on, man. Amen. Here I wrote down, you must know what the good news is, who it is for, and what it came to accomplish. What is the good news? Who it is for? If you want a one-liner or just a definition or a shorter version of the gospel, it's Jesus, the Son of God, fully God and fully man, died for humanity's sin. So that you have to believe. Was resurrected, which is the most important one because he's the first one that had to conquer death to be resurrected. Who offers salvation, forgiveness, and eternal life for all who believe in him. That is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus. And who is it for? John, who is that for? You, me, everybody. Everyone's invited. Everyone has the invitation. Everyone has received the invitation. It's just sad that I think Hanukkah and Candace, that just it's just sad that that invitation never gets opened. That it does not, it's not received. It's left in the posbus, the old post office. It's just that people just miss it, and it's a sadness. And what did it come to accomplish? To set you free from the bondage of sin. To give you a new life now and into eternity. It's not just life now. It's life forevermore. It's life in the fullness. It's life in joy. It's life in completion. It's life. Amen. And I love this. So then, this is, guys, I'm still speaking of evangelism, eh? Just so you know. We're still in evangelism, but it's about Jesus. Amen. And then Paul writes this in Corinthians. He goes and he says, this is 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. He says, therefore we are ambassadors of Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin. For our sake. Guys, go and just go and spend some time on the cross. Read it, study it, meditate on it. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you something of the cross. And then you realize what scourging he needed to go through. If you must just think about God's full wrath needed to be poured out for all eternity on one man. Think about that. Ons is bang, oh, Here, ek het gefouteer, moet my nie pak sla nie. God had to take that whole, complete fullness and pour it out on one. And not just anyone. His own, his best, his only one. Even on suspans. To send your son and to say, punish him. Just for this church, give him everything. How much does God love you that he would do this for you? For our sake made him to be sin, who knew no sin. And so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. That in him we become the righteousness of God. An evangelist is an ambassador of Christ. It's an ambassador of Christ. He's an advocate for Christ. You walk different because you are in Christ. You smile different because you are in Christ. You live different because you are in Christ. Amen? You have this fullness of joy. Yes, the enemy will come and test it. Yes, he will come and kill and destroy. He'll try it. But there is completion and fullness and wholeness in him. See, you know, I enjoyed this one, but I must say that it was stressful to prepare this because I was like, Lord, wow, there's so much that you say, and there's so much in my heart that I mustn't get myself to run away with this, because you need to equip your people. And we need to hear what you have on your heart for us. But an ambassador is someone who passionately shares the beauty of Jesus. His heart, His love, His purpose, His life, His death, and His resurrection. And His resurrection. There's an example where Jesus goes. It's one of the beautiful examples that captures me. But I must be honest. While preparing for this preach, I did a bit of back research because my mind just does this. Like Lord, He paints a picture. It's the story of the woman at the well. That is one of the most profound evangelistic stories in the Bible. Because it happened to a Samaritan woman. Go and check, do this for yourself. Go and check the context. Just in how Jews and the Samaritans lived. Or saw each other. Samaritans were seen as half-breeds. Half-breeds. You know that the Jews were not allowed to marry outside of the Jewish lineage. So Samaritans are half-breeds, so you are tainted in our view. It's failed. They were misinformed because they had a different understanding according to the Jews. They were seen as unclean. So even to be close to them and accidentally touch, go and just study what it means to become ceremonially clean after becoming ceremonially unclean in the Jewish time. So even to be close to them, they would, if some Samaria was here, they would do this. Gaan om, because in the risk of becoming ceremonially unclean, then they would need to go through the ritual. But here is who? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He made an appointment with that woman. And He knew, if I get this one's heart, I'm going to get that town. Amen? If I get this one to see me for who I am, the rest will follow. And He went to this dirty half-breed. And mind you, this woman didn't live a righteous life. But He looked past all of that. Because He knew something was going to happen. And He had an appointment. And there was an invitation. And He met with this ceremonially unclean woman. And He knew that also, if you read this, the story is that the disciples, because sometimes they were just speaking out of their place. So He made sure that they were not there. It was Him and this woman at the well, midday, when it was not supposed to be there. And He speaks to this woman. And He ministers to her. And He shares her heart. And He exposes her heart. Well, our hearts need to be exposed by Christ. And He does this beautiful restoration with her that she doesn't even realize. And when He was done, she said this. In John 4. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" She wasn't even really sure, but something happened within her that this man did this to her, and she was not sure, but she had something to give. And mind you, this was her first appointment with Him. We've been walking with the Lord for how many years? Amen? We've been taught and equipped and we've had all of this shared with us. This was her first meeting with Him. And she ran back into town. She ran back into town. And then you see the result of her just immediately falling in love with Him. It continues, it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. She was on fire in one moment. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to Him, they urged Him to stay with them, and He stayed for 2 days. And because of His words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves. And now we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. You are supposed to be evangelizing people to Jesus, and He will do the rest. You bring them, you just be the intermediate, because we are ambassadors. Ons is handlangers, man. We just need to go like, there is someone that you need to see. There's someone that you need to meet. He wants to have a moment with you. Hallelujah. And that is where we need to just get this confidence in us that it is not our doing that needs to convince people to love Him. They will fall in love with Him, just like we fell in love with Him. They will understand and will see for themselves. And they will come to you and say, I believe now because I saw Him for myself. First, I was convinced because of your passion for Him. But now I know because He is real to me as well. Amen. You and your evangelism, your invitation can turn a city upside down like the woman at the well. But you don't even need to go that far. Your invitation can set a family on fire for the Lord. Amen. Your invitation, your passion, by the way they love one another, they will know that these are my disciples. By how you love one another, you can set an example. Bring them into the atmosphere of Jesus, the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, and let the Lord do His work. I wrote down just a few notes for myself here, and I want to read them to you. This is for me. It says, you must believe that He is the Son of God, that God sent Him to die for us as an atonement for our sins, that He rose again by the same Spirit that is in us, that you are forgiven of all your transgressions, that Jesus is currently at the right hand of God interceding for you and me, that He is the only one worthy to open the scroll. Go read what that is. The only one worthy. That He will come again to judge the living and the dead. That we will be in heaven one day with Him, worshiping Him and the Father. So back to the practical thing is you communicate the benefits. Because surely there are benefits. Amen. Surely we have been restored. Surely we have been healed of certain infirmities. Surely the Lord has done something in your life because you have a benefit to share. Amen? Share His benefits. He is the only way to the Father because there's no other way. There's no other way. He is the only way to the Father. And if someone has weight on them, it says He will forgive your trespasses. He's the only one that can forgive your sins. His burden is light. It's not easy to be a Christian. No, it's not. So that is a truth statement. But He is much more lighter than the weight of sin that you carry upon yourself. He is healing. Not just that He can heal you. He is healing. He is life. He is love. He is the fullness of God. He is the only way, because He says, I am the door. He is the only way into heaven. He is the door. And if you love, you know, when we go and we look at our family and our friends and we go like, when you're in that atmosphere, you're just having a chat, ask yourself a question. How do you feel? How would you feel if you let this person die? Because death here without Christ is permanent. Permanent. We have a duty to ourselves and to Christ to make sure that our opportunities are taken with both hands. Sometimes even if they don't want to, we go like, did you know Jesus can save you? Do you know that He loves you? Oh, someone met the curveball and like, do you know that there's something waiting for you? Because we know that he has something for every single one. There's a gift and a part to play for everyone. So you are not lying. He has something for you. Like Dion said this morning, this is what it looks like when we have life and everyone comes to add in the morning, congregating, the ecclesia, the coming together of the body of Christ, that everyone comes to add, everyone comes to give. and for the brokenhearted, He'll not leave you nor forsake you. That He would nurture you. I think it's Isaiah that says a bruised reed He would not break off. A smoldering wick He would not quench. Ah, gentle, gentle. He has it in Him. Gentle. This Jesus that we serve. So evangelism is not just that we go and we take this heavy burden to go and just like, I'm going to tell you about. We do it out of, like Dion said this morning, out of thankfulness. Huh? Out of thankfulness that is what He done for me. And I love you so much that I want you to have this as well. I want you to have this as well. So, vinnig in closing, I'm looking at the time like, okay, I need... We watch this, the preachers are like, I'm about to close, noch 15 minutes. I'm joking. Just in closing, guys. If you are not feeling in love, it's not about the feeling, it's also about the conviction. Spend time with Jesus. Meet Him. And if you don't know Him on a certain aspect or characteristic, ask Him to show you. He will reveal Himself. He's not a man that He should lie, because His scripture says, those who seek Me with all their heart will find Me. And if you want to fall more and more and more in love with Him, so you can even get the solidness of the conviction more and more and more that He is King. It's going to take time, like Dion said at the start, that you're going to have to spend time with Him. You have to spend time with Him. And almost get ready to be surprised by Him. Because He will show up. And get ready for crying, like I cry ugly cries. I cry ugly cries. But to a practical point, when you speak to someone and you finally have them on the edge, invite them to community. Community carries life that runs into the Sunday church. So if you want to go like, okay, Vivat, I'm not stealing you from your church, because this is what Aaron's touched last week. It's not that we're going and we're stealing people from different churches. No. There's life. There's completion. There's fullness. And we just wanted to say, just come and see. Just come and see, and then you decide. But we see Him every week. We experience Him every week. On Sintrana elke week. We see people laying on the faces. We see here is the evidence of His presence every week. And we want you just to come and see for yourself. Amen. Amen.